May is upon us. You can find what he's up to for Comcast Sportsnet online, CSNNW.com. He's talking Ducks on Comcast Channel 737. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you today?
Cubs tied 4-4, bottom of the 12th, bases loaded. Wilson Contreras is up, one out. So, can you hold on a sec?
Yeah, I'm sorry to be interrupting. I should have known better. And by the way, good play-by-play.
Not, like that?
Not bad at all.
Here's the pitch. Ground ball. Oh, no, they're going to turn two. Oh, they turn two and get out of it.
So we go to the top of the 13th, Phillies and Cubs.
We're going to the 13th after a ground ball double play by Contreras, a 6-4-3 in the inning.
All right, so being a dad, let's say push it ahead. It's around Thanksgiving, Christmas time. Dad, I would like a pair of these big baller brand sneakers for $495. What's your reaction?
You better get yourself a job that pays you $495.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a common conversation, I would imagine.
Outside, is that how much they want?
$495. But look, I can get them to you by November 24th, so you got that going for you.
$495.
$495.
Oh, are they making them themselves? So they don't have the mass distribution of a Nike or Under Armour?
I don't know. Are they making one at a time? I mean, is this like artwork?
You're making them in the basement.
I read this, and it's like, all right, we've gone next level ridiculous, even for self-indulgent Americans.
They probably think they're going to be collector's items because, you know, how people are with shoes and some of the fanatics, and his kids are going to be awesome, and everyone's going to want them, and they're going to pay ridiculous prices for them, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's actually some of the best analysis I've heard. So let's go back a week and about an hour and 40 minutes ago. The NFL draft is in its early stages.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Miles to the Browns. Niners on the clock, but there's a trade. So
yeah.
as a lifelong Bears fan, when you heard they're giving up draft picks this year and next to move up a spot, what did you think their move was going to be, and what was your reaction when Goodell called Trubisky's name?
Okay, so I find this whole thing, everything that happened, to be absolutely fascinating and a commentary on the issues we have in our society with the media, with the instant ability to overreact to things on Twitter on an international scale. So, okay, initially I thought they were going to trade up to get a defensive lineman they wanted because they thought the 49ers were going to take him. Okay, so when I heard Trubisky, I was surprised, and I was puzzled. I didn't freak out, though, because I figured there was a bigger story behind this. One of the problems with things like this is that you have 3 months of people telling you, so-called experts, telling you what teams should do, what teams are going to do. So for 3 months, as a Bears fan, I've been told that if God...
Whoops.
But not that they might trade back, right? I thought they might trade back and get a quarterback, or they're going to take one of the D-linemen. So I've been told that for 3 months. All Bears fans have been told that for 3 months. So all Bears fans are thinking that's what's going to happen. So then when it doesn't happen, it's an initial reaction of freak out, right?
Right.
But when you start hearing the stories come out, the Bears were being as secretive as you possibly could be about who they really wanted. They decided months ago they were going to take Trubisky, but they didn't want anyone on the planet to know because they didn't want anyone to try and trade up and steal him. So when it came, by the time it came to the draft, they knew. So people are saying, well, no one was trying to trade up to get him. No, they got fleeced because no one tried to trade up to get him. But apparently, stories have come out that the Bears knew that there were teams looking to trade up because teams were calling them looking to trade up to get Trubisky at three.
Three, right. Okay.
Right. So while everyone's saying how stupid the Bears were because no one was going to trade up to two, from the Bears' perspective, they had no clue what any of the teams were going to do. No one shared that information. They just knew they were getting calls from teams wanting to go to three. And as soon as they made the trade, move to two and took Trubisky, as soon as the 40, wait, I can't remember the timeline on it, but all the calls stopped as soon as they had a deal in place. That's what it was. As soon as they had a deal in place for the two, all the calls stopped. So they thought there was some activity for two. And whether there was or not, the Bears' perspective was they want him. They've wanted him for 2 months. They're going to go get him. And my philosophy has always been there's no price to pay too high for the quarterback you want. I still think Chip Kelly, when he was the GM, should have traded his entire draft and move up to two to get Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And a number one the next year. If you love him, and I've always said it, I'm always like, well, Chip must not believe in him 100% because why wouldn't you do that? He said the price was too high that Tennessee won. And I'm like, there's no price that's too high. If that's your guy, you go get him. And if the Bears want to give up a third and a fourth and a third to move up to get the guy they wanted and he works out, then nothing else is going to matter. So I thought it was a very entertaining couple of days. The best part, last thing I'll say about it, Bill Polian was on Chicago radio yesterday.
Yeah.
I was listening to it. And with Waddle and Sylvie, and of course, I've been listening to that show and another show for the last couple of days. They were going off how bad it was and Pace's job was on the line and blah, 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 blah. Bill Polian, a Hall of Fame guy who helped build the Colts into a Super Bowl contender champion, goes on there and says it was genius. He was like, the way the Bears kept it a secret, what the Bears gave up was nothing to move up to get a franchise quarterback if you had that conviction. He called it genius, and the guys on the radio they were like flabbergasted. So all I care about is if the guy's good or not. If the guy turns out to suck, then it doesn't matter what they gave up. It was a bad move. If the guy becomes great, then it doesn't matter what they gave up. It was a great move.
And let's not forget, people talk about what he did with the Colts. He also built the Bills that won 4 straight AFC titles.
That's right.
He may know more than the hosts. He may not know more than the
overreaction.
Than the host in Eugene and the guy he has on Thursdays, but he definitely knows more than the guys in Chicago.
Exactly. So I'm cool with it. I'm fine with it. We'll see what happens. We'll ask me again in 3 years how I feel about it.
All right, I'm marking it down. So the spring game is in the books. Team Free over Team Brave, and they covered. A lot of eyes on the quarterbacks. Now, Coach Taggart wants Justin Herbert to fill this leadership role in a more substantial manner. You had a very interesting article because you reminded people when that Mariota guy was quarterback where he was when his career began. And even after 2013, he was not viewed as, Mr. Leadership.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Justin Herbert just turned 19 early March. He's a young kid.
Wow.
Had a lot thrown at him last fall. Not only were they losing, but they had a horrible defense, giving up 41 points a game. He had a young offensive line in front of him. He's a true freshman. There's all this pressure with the coaching staff that recruited him, that's playing him, is on the hot seat. I mean, that's a lot to put on an 18-year-old. And he responded well. But, the one thing is that he's sort of quiet, reserved, sort of an introvert in terms of dealing with teammates. And to me, that only makes sense. If you are a true freshman and you're in the huddle with Darren Carrington and Royce Freeman and Charles Nelson, are you really going to think you're supposed to be leading the team? Is that really the expectation that this 18-year-old is supposed to carry this whole thing evenly as well as from the quarterback position? So I give him a complete slack in that regard, even heading into this fall. I sort of say, look, he's got to be able to grow into this just like Marcus was allowed to grow into it. The difference is, and the thing that Taggart wants to see from him, is not a matter of just being a vocal, rah-rah, in-your-face, let's go, guys, like a Harrington was. He just doesn't want to see Justin what I'm trying to look for. He wants to see him be more stoic in tough situations. He wants to see him be more together, be more of a beacon of confidence and inspiration that Marcus was. Marcus was quiet and stoic, but he never let things bother him.
Right.
He never displayed agitation or displayed emotion. And so even though he wasn't rah, 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 people could still feed off of him as a beacon of inspiration. And that's what Taggart wants to see from Herbert, because right now Herbert's still young, and sometimes when things don't go well, Herbert acts like a young quarterback and maybe doesn't display all the leader traits you want to see that go beyond the typical rah-rah stuff. So, and that's all part of the maturation process. I think he'll get there. But, with Taggart, you're dealing with a guy who, A, was a quarterback.
Right.
B, was a running backs coach on the team with Andrew Luck, which he mentioned, hey, I saw Andrew Luck completely as a redshirt freshman lift the team up as a leader. And he also had Quentin Flowers become a big-time leader as a sophomore at South Florida. So he's seen it be done. He wants to see it from Justin. But the whole quarterback competition thing, I think we saw on Saturday that Travis Johnson's not even close to ready to beat out Justin Herbert. Like, Justin Herbert, and spring games are pretty weak. We all know that in terms of really seeing what guys are about. But we saw Herbert do all the things we saw him do last fall when he threw for 19 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And then we saw Travis Johnson in a glorified scrimmage, you know, basically a 7-on-7 with some pads where they can't touch you, not have a very good game. So this is Herbert's offense. This is Herbert's team. Tiger just wants to see him mature emotionally sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Speak softly, carry a big stick.
If you don't want to speak loudly, at least, you know, let people, you know, people know that if things go south, even on defense, oh, they give up a touchdown. Man, we give 3 straight touchdowns. Justin's there to pick you up.
All right.
You know, he's not freaking out.
All right, let's wrap with this. I'm not a recruiting nut. I mean, obviously, I get the value, but I just can't be one of these people who worries of what a 17-year-old is doing. But
you barely cared about your own 17-year-old,
right? I barely knew.
I
always say I could barely find the bathroom from my bedroom when I was 17. I'm going to worry about these kids. But Taggart's first letter of intent signing day was actually viewed as pretty solid. But, man, when you consider what's happened over the spring, we got more impressive commits, and I know it's early, and you've talked about and written about where they need to be recruiting wise to get back into contention. So while no one never knows, man, easy to say you should at least be impressed with what we're seeing.
I thought I was impressive to get what 6 over the weekend, and then another one on Saturday. The fact that 6 more 4-star kids, which is a good haul. And to me, it's all about the depth of the 4-star kids. You know, we all know 3-star kids can become great. Marcus Mariota, Justin Herbert, examples. But the teams that contend for national titles have a plethora of 4-star kids to pick from, and that's what gets them into the top 5, top 10. So to get that many in one weekend, they had 6 all last recruiting class, and or excuse me, 9 the entire class in 2017. I think the record for 4 stars in a given year, I wrote about this a few months ago, I forgot the number, I think it's 12 or 13. So they're almost halfway there, around halfway there. So yeah, that was a very impressive weekend. I think they're going to be recruiters, but just remember, there's one other thing there. They're getting a ton of DBs. Like, how many 4-star safeties do you need? How many 4-star corners do you need? We need to see the linemen, man. Not just the inside state guys. I got a good in-state guy last year who actually committed to Helfrich and Greatwood. They got one from Lake Oswego so far. But if you're an Oregon fan, you want to see those stud D linemen from different regions, those stud O linemen from different regions, because that's what's going to make the difference when you go up against those teams from different regions in the big games when it counts most.
All right. CSNNW.com. On Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. Always great stuff. A lot of fun. AF, always appreciate the time, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
Trubisky power, baby.
Take it easy, yeah. Aaron.